Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level? I can't stop telling everybody about my new FeatherSnap bird feeder. It's a Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeder, blending the best of technology and nature. I've enjoyed so much since we got this thing set up, looking up close at the birds when they land on the feeder. I get a notification to my phone with a picture. There's 3 pictures every time a bird lands on the feeder. And I get to see some cool action shots. I can see their faces close up, their eyes, their feathers, the detail on their heads. It's amazing. I've enjoyed seeing woodpeckers, goldfinches, male and female, house finches, chickadees, tufted titmouse, blue jay, a few squirrels. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's been seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. I've noticed that when I feed my dogs regular supermarket brands, they have more itchy skin, scratching their ears, behavior issues, agitation. And when I feed them healthy whole foods, superfoods, they're calmer, happier, and not having those skin issues and ear discomfort. Go to badlandsranch.com/chat and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/chat today. I'm excited to share with you that Trauma Therapist Network and Therapy Chat are sponsoring the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, IMMH, conference in October 10th through 13th at the stunning Gaylord National Harbor Resort in Washington, D.C. Early bird pricing is still available, and I have for you a $100 discount off of the early bird price. There are also special discount rates for the hotel available only through September 16th. This conference is in person and I'm going to be there. I can't wait to meet all of you who are attending in person. I'm going to have an exhibitor table so you can come by and say hi to me. Also trying to organize a Trauma Therapist Network gathering and a therapy chat gathering, maybe a dinner. So I'm hoping that many of you will be there too to hear from leading experts in integrative mental health, including the latest keynote edition, esteemed British cardiologist Dr. Asim Malhotra, along with many other amazing speakers, including multiple time therapy chat guests Dr. Leslie Korn and Linda Tai. You can earn up to 24 CEs and discover the latest research on neuroinflammation, psychedelics, genomics, trauma, nutritional and metabolic psychiatry, the gut-brain connection, the nervous system, the heart-mind connection, etc. Seth Porges and Benjamin Fry, who was a recent Therapy Chat guest, will also be there. Join me at the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health Conference, IMMH 2024. You'll find a link in the show notes to get a ticket with your discount code and a link to book your hotel if you get it by September 16th. So don't miss out. I'll see you there. Go to immh.org and use code TRAUMATH100 to save $100 off the early bird in-person ticket price. That's TRAUMATH100, TRAUMATH100, to save $100 off the early bird in-person ticket price through September 16th.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 444.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm very pleased to be bringing you a conversation with Julia Natch. Julia Natch is currently the owner and founder of My Crossing Paths Counseling Center and My Crossing Paths Training Center, and she's a member of Trauma Therapist Network since it started. Julia was previously the manager of clinical services at the Baltimore Child Abuse Center, and before that, she worked with Family and Children's Services supervising Baltimore City and County. She works with all populations dealing with trauma and abuse and is currently an adjunct professor at the Community College of Baltimore County, teaching in the Human Service Counseling Department. She published her first book called Crossing Paths, The Intersection Between Trauma and Addictions, and she recently received her PsyD at California Southern University with her dissertation focusing on sand tray therapy, entitled Using Sand Tray Therapy to Encourage Healing from Adverse Childhood Experiences. And that's what we talked about. We talked about how Julia uses sand tray and play therapy in her practice. She also uses brain spotting. And I consider her one of the people in the Baltimore area who is really an expert in child abuse. There are many others as well. So I'm grateful that we have a robust community of people who have that background working in the therapy field, because it's such important work and what I specialize in as well. So let's get into my conversation with Dr. Julia Natch. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to be speaking with someone who I met in person last year, but I've known you for a while through my membership community, Julia Natch. Julia, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
I'm so happy that we're talking, and we ran into each other at another Trauma Therapist Network member, Lauren Goings, Inner Path Open House. She's also a previous Therapy Chat member. So this is like a very full circle community moment right now.
Absolutely. Right? It's what we do.
Yeah. And we're all connected. So I'm excited to talk to you about the way you practice. You use sand tray and you integrate a lot of other methods in with it. But before we get into talking about that, will you just give our audience a little bit more information about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Julia. I've been in the field for over 20 years now. I started up in Philadelphia, and I was working in inner city Philly. Love Philly. I miss Philly at times.
I love Philly.
Yes, it's amazing. And so I was up there for a while, and then I came back because my family's from Maryland, and so I came back home. And I worked in Baltimore City most of my career, and the last place I worked before I opened my own private practice was the Baltimore Child Abuse Center, which is now the Center for Hope under LifeBridge Health. And I was actually brought in to open their mental health unit because they did not have one, believe it or not, at the Child Advocacy Center. So what they were finding is that we'd send out referrals to mental health for the children who had experienced neglect or abuse, and those kids wouldn't get hooked up. And so we ended up opening something in-house for them. And through them, Like, that's where I was able to write grants for training for staff and training for myself and everything else. And so I was there for about right at the start of COVID. And then I had my daughter and I decided I needed to pivot, right? Which happens in life. So I was there for about 4 years running their mental health program. And then, yeah, I just opened my own practice shortly after that and opened a group practice maybe 2 years ago. So I went from solo to group because I missed people. And
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at now.
And so your practice is called?
My Crossing Paths Counseling Center. And we are located in Lutherville. We just upgraded our office space, so it's really exciting. We have 5 clinicians right now. We're bringing on anywhere from 3 to 4 between now and August.
Wow, yeah. Exciting.
We are very excited. We see kids all the way up through adults, so my child clinicians are filled all of the time. And so there is a huge need for a children therapist. And so I've been fortunate enough that people have reached out and want to come here and work. And so it's worked out nicely.
Yeah. And is your practice focused in trauma specifically, trauma and attachment?
Most of my clinicians, well, all of my clinicians are trauma informed. Most of them work with pretty intense trauma. Some of them work with the ASD spectrum and trauma through that lens, which is a little bit different than what I specialize in, but it's all kind of, yeah, trauma informed and attachment.
It all overlaps.
It all overlaps. It's amazing how that happens.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, thank you for telling about that. And I have to say that for anyone who's listening to this on audio, you can't see, but Julia has a huge shelving unit behind her and it's full of figures for sand tray.
Yes. This is just some of it. So that's the sad thing. The other wall is just as filled. And so sand tray is one of my main modalities. And all of my staff have been trained in sand tray therapy as well. It's actually what I wrote my dissertation on when I went through for my doctorate. So I wrote my dissertation on sand therapy.
I forgot about your doctorate. Dr. Julia Natch is our guest today.
It's okay. It doesn't sink in still, right? It's one of those new things where, like, you should put that somewhere. It's like, I probably should, and I'll get to it eventually.
But, you know, sand tray is one of those things. And I want to say too, for everyone who's listening, that you also do a lot of training in sand tray therapy. It's one of those things that when you learn sand tray, becoming obsessed with collecting the figures is kind of a thing.
It's really quite dangerous. Mm-hmm. My husband jokes because that's where a lot of my budget goes, is to miniatures for the sand tray. Every time we go away, it's like, oh, can I use this? Can I use this? Can I find some way to use this in the sand? And it's actually been wonderful that I have clients bring in miniatures out too. And they're like, we just needed to add this here and we'll leave it here. We'll use it, but other people can use it too. So I have a whole shelf over in the corner there that clients have brought in. And they leave here for themselves and then for others to use because that's part of their process.
That's really cool. There's a metaphor in that. There's a beautiful metaphor about, you know, collective healing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us about, why did you base your practice in using sand tray?
Sure. So I'll tell you my short journey with sand, because it's a long journey. But my short journey is, I hated sand tray when I first started, believe it or not. Oh. I actually did not understand sand tray. And I laugh because now I can't imagine my practice without it. But when I first started, I was working in the city 10 plus years ago. And all I knew was, this one person asked me to move this heavy sand tray from one office to the other. And so I'm moving this sand tray into the city with no understanding of what it is, what it's possible of, with just a bunch of animal miniatures. And so I was very annoyed and very upset. Like, this is not what I should be doing on my day when I don't have to see as many clients, right? And so from there, it was kind of like, okay, since we have this big thing, maybe we need to figure out what it's for and what we're using it for. And I remember my first individual I saw, it was disastrous. I say that now because it really was. I sat on the floor with them and I did what all therapists do in the beginning when you're learning something. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to do it. And I went and bought a box of animal miniatures. And I was like, here, just put them in the sand and tell me about the story. And the person's like, you want me to use animals and put them in the sand? I was like, sure, what's the worst that could happen? There's a lot that can go wrong. And so it was at that point, I was like, you know what, I need to find some training. And there's a really distinct possibility that I need to do this myself. And so part of my sand tray journey has been my own healing in the sand. I had some personal kind of traumas happen where I needed to work them out. And I've done brain spotting, I've done EMDR, I've done arts, and I needed to get to a deeper level. I needed to kind of go more to where I wasn't scripting what I was allowing to happen, if that makes sense. And the other beautiful thing about the sand is traditional sand trees are rectangles with blue underneath with white sand. My sand tree therapist had a black sand tray with black sand, and it was just the raw emotions that come up when you change something as simple as that become very palpable for healing. And so during my own process, I experimented with different sand tray styles, with different colors, with different, obviously different miniatures. And I found that I didn't have to know what it was to know that something was moving and that something was there, and kind of feeling all of that unconsciously kind of going through my system, which was a pretty amazing experience. Because when I started therapy, traditionally it was like talk therapy, right? Just H myself. Everything was like CBT and so on and so forth. And I hated it. I didn't do well with CBT. I didn't do anything. If I could think my way out of something, I wouldn't be sitting in front of a therapist. And so when my therapist offered sand, it was kind of like, oh my gosh, okay, this makes sense. Like, I don't have to talk to you. I can be in my own unconscious. I can be in my psyche. And it's protected and it's contained. And it just became this movable, very palpable. I still have pictures of those sand trays, like experience for me in my journey. And then it was I realized I needed a lot more training, because if it's able to do this for me, I can only imagine it, what it does for individuals who have had different types of traumas. And so that's kind of my short version of that story.
Yeah, it's so powerful. I, you know, as you were talking, so many things were coming up for me. I was thinking about my first sand tray that I did in training. I remember I was like in the training, and as we were learning, I just was deeply craving to make my own tray. And then when I did, I just remember like just how powerful it felt in my body. It was like it was tapping into, there was something I was struggling with. It was about my youngest child going to college, just to age myself. And I was struggling with feelings about it that I couldn't really explain, name, but they were so deep. And when I made the sand tray, I just loved it. So I just remember having this visceral reaction and being like, that's it. That's what I'm feeling, that I couldn't express. And I still couldn't put it into words at all. Even when I tried to explain to someone what it meant to me or how much I enjoyed creating it, it didn't nearly capture the deep internal experience that it was reflecting. And I still have pictures of that on my phone. And I look at it, I enjoy looking back at that one sand tray. Like, yeah, that's right. That's what I was feeling. Now, you know, it's like 8 years later. So
I was just going to say, the sand has an amazing way of doing that. It really does. To take from one of David Grin, brain spotting, you don't need to know what it is to know that it is. Yeah. And the sand has a beautiful way of encompassing that. Like, most of the individuals I see can't tell me what they're experiencing, but they can show me. You know, we learn in images from Yihai, right? And so images are what formulate our thought, what formulates our feelings, what formulates our experiences in society. It formulates the stories that we tell ourselves. And so when you're given a chance to retell that story in a way where you don't have to explain it, you don't have to understand it, you just have to feel it, it opens it up to this beautiful way of the body experiencing it on a different level.
Yeah, it's so incredibly powerful. And I found it very helpful for people who do stay in the intellectual space and find it really hard to drop into the deeper emotional response that they want to tap into. So can you talk a little bit about what is the sand tapping into? That's, you know, you kind of touched on it, but just maybe going a little deeper into that.
Sure. So without giving a full history of sand therapy, it started way back early, 1920s or 30s, with Margaret Lohenfeld and her world technique. And she was working with kids who had polio. And so what she discovered was she needed some way to work with these kids, because talking to these kids was not working, you know? And so what she brought out was called her world box. And it was this box of sand and these toys. And from there, it kind of grew to, that's more of sand tray. Now there's sand play, which is a little bit different. Sand play is strictly Jungian and Dorkoff. I'm not sand plate trained. That is an extensive, almost 10-year self-discovery journey to be trained in sand play. So I do sand tray, which is allows for more directives. So I can kind of tell clients, hey, let's build something about this, or it allows for non-directives. And so sand tray in itself, it uses miniatures to speak. Oftentimes I have individuals that come in that don't have any recollection, or when I work with kiddos, they don't have the words to recall what happened to them. But through their actions in the sand, they're able to kind of start the healing process, move it through the system enough where it becomes less intense. It's more not as repetitive in some of the behaviors. And they are getting this container, right? So in sand tray, we're containing things on three different levels. So you're containing it in the sand tray. Myself as the therapist is containing it. And then the room is containing it. And so it allows that unconscious psyche to kind of come up and explore those deeper levels that we couldn't cognitively talk about. There is something about putting your hands in the sand that is not only regulating, but it also lowers those defenses. And so for some individuals, they just come and play in the sand. It was one of the fascinating things about my dissertation that I discovered is one of the individuals in particular that I'm remembering, she couldn't build it. She couldn't do it. It was too much for her. So she would sit and I would do a regular therapy session with her while she's playing and moving the sand and making mounds and adding layers of sand upon sand, even sometimes adding water, and then allowing all of this unconscious stuff to come up. And she's like, I didn't even know all this stuff was underneath any of this that I needed to talk about. And that was in my dissertation. So that's not true. You know, that's supposed to be true sessions. And that's what it ended up happening. And so the sand allows for this element of unconscious digging, as I call it. You know, you can add water to mold it, to kind of add texture, or you can add elements. And I don't have to know what the elements mean, and they don't have to mean what the picture is. So I have tray shelving upon shelving of possible images that might have some meaning for me, but for somebody else, they could have a completely different meaning. And I'm not going to guess at what that meaning is. I'm going to sit and explore that with an individual and let them kind of see what their unconscious needs me to know about what's going on. I hope that made sense.
Yeah. It's so mystical, mysterious how it works.
It's so fantastic and wonderful. And in the United States, we don't use it hardly at all. It's so well received over in Eastern culture, right? But in Western culture, we don't embrace those things as much. But you go overseas and people are like, oh, I do sand all the time, right? The Tibetan Buddhists, they build those beautiful sand images and then they let it wash away. I mean, that's how much it's integrated into all of their society. And we struggle with some of that over here, which is, it's a shame because it does have such wonderful healing capabilities.
Yes, we're too heavily left-brained and analytical and logical and almost fearful and avoidant of emotion and like the unknown. Everything has to be, in Western culture, everything has to be black and white, concrete.
Absolutely. I will tell you, most of the time I get referrals, it's because people are done with talk therapy. They're done with traditional therapy. And I do, it's not that I don't talk, but I talk in ways where we're also then doing something, right? So we're doing sand, or I'm adding sand with parts work, with brain spotting, with EMDR, with archetypes from, and you need analytical, right? We add in Jungian archetypes into the sand and we build based around that. And so most of my caseload has been through your traditional talk therapy and they're still stuck. And what they need is something that unsticks them. I don't know if unstick is a word, but we're going to go with it to kind of get it through the system. You know, their system has been frozen for so long that talking isn't helping anymore. I just had your client come in and say, I can tell you, I have all the insight. I can talk about all of this. She goes, but when you put me in the sand a week ago, I've never felt something like that in my life. She goes, my body is still shaking from stuff like that. And she goes, I can't explain that. I was like, no, guess what? You won't be able to.
Which is kind of freeing. You don't have to.
Yeah. I love that aspect about the sand.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you talked about when you shared about your short version of your journey with sand. When you said, I don't know why, but when you said that your therapist had a black sand tray, I think you said, and black sand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh,
I just don't know why, but that.
Because it's your own visceral response to that. Yeah. Right? Like, that's the beauty of it. But that's how powerful those things can be. Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like in my office, you can't see, but I have two sand trays. I have a traditional white square rectangular, and then I have a circular purple one, and it has purple sand in it. And so most of my clients will end up using one or both and building off of each other because the unconscious needs that. For my healing journey, I needed something that was going to push the boundaries. Traditional white sand wasn't doing it. So my therapist, God bless her, she's like, here's a black sand, build in this. And she knew I needed that level of, there's a guttural response to like, you want me to build in there, right? Yeah. And so I knew that she knew I needed that. And so we have at the training center and at my counseling center, we have blue sand, we have black sand, we have purple sand. I have red sand, which is pretty intense to work with as well, along with your traditional like white sand. And everything's on wheels. So my staff is great. They're wheeling sand trays in and out all the time, depending on what the client needs. If the client needs that additional push, then we're going to wheel in a color that where it's like, I'm uncomfortable, but I need to be in this level of uncomfortability to move forward.
Well, in my sand tray, now I'm working remotely, so I'm not really doing sand tray with anyone, unfortunately. But in my practice, when I was in person, I had a typical like light colored wood. So it was like, you know, whitish. It wasn't quite white. It was like a very light yellow box with the blue bottom.
Blue at the bottom, yep.
But I had red sand. And I chose the red sand because I just loved the feel. I loved how it was like, I don't know, I think it had a lot of silica in it. And it just had a real like silky feeling to your hand. So that was something that I chose for my own preference. But I really didn't know that the red might be more challenging to work with. So that's kind of interesting that what I presented to all my clients was not the easy sand, but the
red is one of those colors that can, you know, when you think of red, you think of heat and anger, you know, and so it can be a tough thing to balance. Like if you're trying to work through grief, it can be a tough thing to balance in that. For my black sand, I had some fertility issues. And so I needed that level of darkness to cover what I needed to get to. And my therapist knew that because I wasn't getting it in other, you know, in the white sand or even being able to talk about it. So it needed that level of darkness is the only word I can think of because that's what it felt like. It felt like this darkness needed to have, but I needed to see the light at the end of the darkness.
It needed to be met.
Yeah.
What you felt needed to be met with the medium that you were using.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My thought about the red sand is I always felt like it looked like it reminded me of like a Martian, like another world, like a planet or something. It just seemed like between the contrast of that, you know, clay red color, red clay type color with the blue bottom, it was just very kind of like, I don't know.
Well, and there are varying shades of red. You know what I mean? Like I have the red here. It's like fire red, like Ronald McDonald red, right?
That's
probably very different than the red you have. So again, you can change all of those things and all of those things provide different options for the psyche, which is really fascinating with just simply changing a color. And the sand to build changes where your psyche is going to go.
That is so fascinating. I hope your dissertation is going to become a book so I can read it because
my goal is to write, right? Like my goal is to write. I have this debate in my head. How do I want to write a sand tray book, right? I have permission from all of my individuals that I've seen over the course of years to do a picture book and just let the pictures speak for themselves. Because I think there's something powerful and unifying in images of everybody's story because you can grab from it what you need. Or then do I want to create like more of like, hey, this is a know-how, but there's some amazing authors out there that write like Dr. Linda Hohmeyer and Marshall Lyles. All of them have written fantastic books on how to do sand tray and kind of the importance of having a sand set up and everything. So I debate what type of book I want to write on the sand because I know I want to.
Just sounds like your dissertation was very interesting.
It is. Yeah. So my dissertation is out. I have no idea how to get it. I'd be more than happy to send you a copy. I have no idea how people are supposed to get it. I never got that information.
Okay. If you figure out how, I'll definitely include, like, if you can get a link where people can read it for free or something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would love that. Thank you. So now when you brought up that you use parts work, EMDR, and brain spotting in with the sand, can you talk about that? How do you integrate these? Because I know that particularly, well, you know, we bonded on brain spotting, and brain spotting, you said people need something even deeper. I'm like, deeper than brain spotting? Whoa. So I'm just curious how this fits together. I'd love to really just explore this.
So I call it sand spotting because it's a combination of sand tray and brain spotting. And I needed something to tell my clients what we were doing without them being like, you're just making stuff up.
Yeah, are you making this up? I'm not sure how comfortable I feel.
Right. Hopefully none of them are listening because I really did kind of make it up. But the reality is it molds together so beautifully, right? Again, what we know from brain spotting is where you look impacts how you feel. And what we know from sand tray is images kind of work through the psyche. And so my thinking was, why don't combine the two, right? Why don't we use the images and then pinpoint how we're going to kind of walk around and take those into the system? The interesting thing is all of my clients, right, we're real life. Everybody has to go back to work afterwards. And I can't dysregulate somebody to the point where they're like curled up in a fetal position. And I don't allow, when we do this type of intensity, and I'll give you examples. When I do this type of intensity, I only do this processing for 15 minutes. I don't let them go longer than 15 minutes because I've seen what it can do. And so when I do sand spotting in one tray, I have them build whatever it is that they need to work on, right? Whatever it is that still stuck that they feel like it's not moving. And then in the tray right next to it, I have them build this neutral because I don't want to end the processing. I don't want to send you to a happy place, but I also don't, I want to give you a little bit of where you can take a breath, you know?
A little relief.
A little relief because I know you have to go to work after this. So you have to go back and be a parent or you have to go back. You have to enter society and society doesn't care what you've done in here with me for an hour. And so because the sand tray has four sides, it gives you different perspectives of things you've never looked at differently. And that is one of the beautiful things about the sand tray is we will go and I use all four sides of the tray. And during that processing, I will have them very similar to brain spotting when you stare at the pointer. I will have them look at the image they built based off of the sides, right? So they're going to go around the sand tray. And in between each side, they're just going to spend maybe 30 seconds in that neutral zone. Again, because I know they have to go somewhere out of this after this. And so the experience that I've gotten from my individuals is this just takes processing to a different level. I've had people throw up. I've had people all get lightheaded, get cold, get like the visceral and somatic experiences that happen when you add the images, but then you're able to walk around and look at it from a different perspective and take it in from a different perspective, creates those neural pathways faster. It opens all of that up to much faster firing, much faster connections and moving through the system just that much faster where, okay, it's 15 minutes. It felt like 40 years, but I can go out now, actually, and I feel different. I'm feeling movement. I'm feeling processing continue. Most of my individuals end up leaving. They're exhausted. They're tired. They're hot. They're cold. They're not feeling fantastic. But by the end of the night, most of them are like, something's moving and I feel good. And it's almost immediate as soon as they start sitting with the images and moving through the images in the sand.
So they go from feeling all of that sort of body dysregulation, physiological dysregulation. It doesn't mean it's a problem. It means something's happening in their system.
Absolutely. It means they're paying attention to something they've not paid attention to. And the system is finally opening up to work through it. And oftentimes you don't have the words, you don't have the stories. I've been trained in certified in EMDR, certified in brain spotting. Right? That was also the problem is they don't have those big negative cognitions. They don't have those big stories attached to all this. They just have those feelings. And a lot of time we remember with our senses. So if you can add in images or some of them add in candles, some of them add in scents, right? And you work through it that way, where as David Graham said, there is that spot, that trauma spot. If we can find it and move it, that's what we're doing in the sand. We're finding the whole image and moving it collectively versus just one spot at a time.
Wow.
Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with dietary options like Mediterranean diet, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock into one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. I was excited to find out that they had plans including gluten-free and dairy-free recipes that are tasty. Go to sunbasket.com/therapychat today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/therapychat to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. I'm excited to share with you that Trauma Therapist Network and Therapy Chat are sponsoring the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, IMMH, conference in October 10th through 13th at the stunning Gaylord National Harbor Resort in Washington, D.C. Early bird pricing is still available, and I have for you a $100 discount off of the early bird price. There are also special discount rates for the hotel available only through September 16th. This conference is in person and I'm going to be there. I can't wait to meet all of you who are attending in person. I'm going to have an exhibitor table so you can come by and say hi to me. Also trying to organize a Trauma Therapist Network gathering and a therapy chat gathering, maybe a dinner. So I'm hoping that many of you will be there too to hear from leading experts in integrative mental health, including the latest keynote edition, esteemed British cardiologist Dr. Asim Malhotra, along with many other amazing speakers, including multiple time therapy chat guests Dr. Leslie Korn and Linda Tai. You can earn up to 24 CEs and discover the latest research on neuroinflammation, psychedelics, genomics, trauma, nutritional and metabolic psychiatry, the gut-brain connection, the nervous system, the heart-mind connection, etc. Seth Porges and Benjamin Fry, who was a recent Therapy Chat guest, will also be there. Join me at the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health Conference, IMMH 2024. You'll find a link in the show notes to get a ticket with your discount code and a link to book your hotel if you get it by September 16th. So don't miss out. I'll see you there. Go to immh.org and use code TRAUMATH100 to save $100 off the early bird in-person ticket price. That's TRAUMATH100, TRAUMATH100, to save $100 off the early bird in-person ticket price through September 16th. My issue with perimenopause was bloating, inflammation. I was also super fatigued and I had a lot of trouble sleeping. Now it's easier to manage menopause with Hormone Harmony. I went to a party last weekend and I couldn't believe how many of the women I was talking to were saying that they were going through perimenopause and had no relief from bloating, gas, hot flashes, mood swings, and just not feeling themselves. And I got it. I told them. I've been there. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. Women can't stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogen. Here's the beauty about adaptogen. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymama.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymama.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today. Therapists, we've all had that moment. You wake up in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, did I do my notes? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore when you use Therapy Notes. Therapy Notes makes it easy to write your notes, get them done quickly, but thoroughly. My group practice has used Therapy Notes for 6 years, and everyone always finds it easy to use. But the best thing is, if you do need help, you can call their customer service number and a person answers the phone. And anytime I've ever had to use it, which is maybe 3 times in the past 6 years, my issue has been resolved easily with a cheerful demeanor in 15 minutes or less.
So I highly recommend Therapy Notes. And don't forget, go to therapynotes.com and use promo code CHAT to get 2 free months. I'm thinking a lot right now. My one thing that's coming to mind is, because you said they're exhausted, they're hot, they're cold, you know, they're not necessarily feeling really good. And then it shifts, and by, you know, 24 hours, they're like, I feel good, which is, I assume, a major change from how they felt before they started to be feeling good.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about how, I'm thinking about what's coming to mind for me is like energy work I've done, where it's like, oh, I'm getting really hot right now. What? And then my mind goes, what's happening? What's happening? Oh, okay. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, like, oh no, is something bad going to happen? You know, my system starts to feel like this is threatening instead of healing. And
absolutely.
Because I don't understand, or I don't know, this is like out of context to have this type of response. And similarly, you mentioned throwing up, lightheadedness. So if we have a therapy session where we begin to feel like nausea is rising and rising, most people are like, oh, no, this isn't good. We should go away from this, right? And especially like you don't want to throw up, because throwing up is really like losing control, you know? Meanwhile, I understand physiologically when you're healing, the interrupted like impulse is what you keep butting up against when you're trying to heal and you keep hitting that thing that is stopping you from moving through it, right? So how do people adjust to that, or how do they like trust that what they're feeling, which might seem really overwhelming, is going to be actually end up being beneficial?
Absolutely. So some of that is the therapeutic relationship, right? I don't sand spot people right away. I love Judith Herman's 3-phase approach. That's kind of how I do my trauma work. If you're not feeling safe and stable with me, guess what? We're not going anywhere. I don't care how long that takes. I have to get you to trust me and trust my process, because my process is different. I always remind people, but you came in for different. You came in because your traditional therapy wasn't working for you. And so most of the time, by the time we get to the sand spotting, by the time we get to the bigger processing of everything, they've already been in the sand. They've already experienced brain spotting by itself. They've already experienced EMDR. They've already experienced parts work by themselves. And I tell them, we're going to combine all of this now, right? We're going to really jump in and start moving things. And I give them a chance to back out. If they don't want to do it, I can't force anybody to do it. But I do tell them, like, this is the hardest workout you will ever do. It is harder than any physical workout you will ever put your body through. What we're going to do in these next 15 minutes will be exhausting. And so we plan the week ahead. They're well prepared. We plan the week ahead. And if they come in a crisis and we can't do it, guess what? We shift and we do something else. But they are well prepared for what they're going to experience. And they're okay with that, believe it or not, because there is movement and they're feeling that difference, less intensity of what they have experienced previously. So things aren't like constantly ruminating. Things aren't constantly coming up. It's like, I didn't actually even think about that this week. That's pretty good, right? And so there is lots of prep work for this, because it is some of the most intense processing you'll have. And I equate that to the adding of images, the adding of sand, because when people are in this, they're also moving the sand with their hands if they need to. They're also able to kind of move figures and shift the storyline and shift what they need that feels good for their systems, right? So I have one individual who, when we do this, almost all the time, they end up moving the miniatures around because their system needs them to. And that helps. And then it becomes a very visceral experience where the belching starts and other things come up and you can feel the release. You can feel that. And there is just kind of like, that's what I needed. I needed that to kind of shift more so that I could let that go. I could get that up through the system.
It sounds like the person who is doing it is very much in charge of what they decide to do. You know, it's they have agency and you're not doing this to them. I can imagine, like, even thinking about sometimes how if someone was doing like a psychedelic process, if they don't like it, they can't just make it stop, you know? So there's, you know, although once you start processing
aside from psychedelics, you know, something's happening. You can't necessarily just turn it right off, but it seems like someone might be able to feel a little bit more in control of what's going on in this type of experience than in a psychedelic experience, for example.
Yeah. One of the things that we know is through, I see lots of complex trauma, and one of the things that has been taken from individuals with complex trauma is that level of control. And yeah. So right from the beginning, I'm giving them the neurobiology of their system, of letting them know, like, these are the responses, this is where this is coming from. But also that I'm giving them that ability to say, okay, these are the skills that work for me. These are the skills that don't. I don't want to do sane today. I don't want to do this today. I just need this. And so it's very much in flux with their controlling every session. I have ideas, but I'm not going to jump into it unless you need me to say, hey, I don't know what to do today. Can you help me? I'm stuck, or I'm frozen, or whatever. When we do these bigger sand spotting sessions, this has been prep work. This is, you know, we prepare a week to two in advance, and we kind of iron out, okay, I don't need to know exactly what it is you're working on, but can you give me some guidance so I know how to hold the space for you? So I know how to help you in that moment so that I can be kind of another anchor for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds very, I mean, it's clear that consent is a major important piece of it, which is, you know, for everyone who's listening and curious about this, and maybe you've never listened to Therapy Chat before, consent and agency are extremely important in healing after traumatic experiences.
Absolutely.
So that is really super cool. The brain spotting piece is very interesting, but can you talk also about the parts work, EMDR, and you also mentioned Jungian archetypes, which, you know, I really don't know that much about, and I find myself so interested, but yet it doesn't seem to sink in. So I don't know what that's about.
Sure. Absolutely. So with EMDR, again, it's very much similar to brain spotting. I have the buzzies. I've had too many shoulder injuries to be able to sit and do this session, right? So I have the buzzies. And so my individuals are very much, I call them my buzzies. They know we're going to do it. And it becomes one of those, what is this big negative cognition that you are struggling with? Put it in the sand and let's process it. And so it's very similar to a straightforward EMDR session, only you have images in the sand where you have, and I have the ability to kind of make the speed faster, make the speed slower, depending on where they need to be with all of that. And then also we have the other sand tray for that neutral space if they need it afterwards, which is really, I love having two sand trays in my office. I don't think I would be able to function without having the two trays, because for everything I do, most of my individuals use both trays. And so for EMDR, it's very much like working on that bigger negative cognition that while we have some of these stories and we have some of those touchstone memories, there's being able to be in the sand and kind of seeing that and feeling that. So that's,
yeah, because when you're doing EMDR, you could be just in your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you may be able to change that thought, but it doesn't always feel like a full embodiment. Right.
Yeah. And the sand allows that, because what I do, I have several individuals who prefer EMDR over brain spotting and over the sand spotting. And so what we'll do is they'll end up with their hands in the sand and kind of just allowing their hands in the sand, sitting in front of the tray to then process. I have one individual who I'm working with who couldn't do the sand in the beginning. It flooded her too much. So we actually ended up doing EMDR to kind of allow for some of that. And now all she wants to do is build in the sand, right? Because we got to that point by like loosening some of that up through EMDR, right? And now the sand is not overwhelming. It's not flooding her. She's able to hold what she needs to hold and kind of move what she needs to move now in the sand, because we did it that way. And so they go together so beautifully. You know what I mean? It's a seamless fit most of the time, where if you can't do it together, having one piggyback off the other becomes really powerful as well.
Yeah. So interesting. Okay. Keep going.
No, I'm sorry. I could go on forever, right? So in terms of parts work is one of my favorite things to do in the sand, right? And really what it is it's identifying these different roles that you play and how you play them. And I have those parts cards that I think every therapist has. And
the interactive cards.
The interactive parts cards, yeah. And they're great. I use those as an introduction, because not everybody is familiar with parts. Not everybody's been intensely trained at IFS. I've done some trainings, but I haven't done the full IFS certification, right? So one of the beautiful ways to do IFS in the sand is bring these parts in. What is this anger part? What is this sad? What is this mother part? What is this, whatever part is coming up? And what does this part need that they're not willing and they can't communicate with you? And again, because the sand allows for the safe level of exploration, you kind of get to go a little bit deeper and you kind of get to understand on a different level how these parts overlap and what they need in order to kind of be seen, be heard, but also be healed, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Oh, wow.
And so then I'll touch on the Jungian stuff because this is one of my favorite things to do with individuals. So Jungian archetypes are very similar to your parts work. I do a lot of shadow work. So the shadow is the most known archetype of Jung.
That's
right?
The part I know. That's like the only part I understand of Jungian archetypes.
But I have a whole book of Jungian archetypes. And so I'll give you an example. I'm preparing with an individual this week. There's resistance coming up in them. And we're at that point where they need to go deeper and they're aware of this, but they're also very terrified of like this resistant part that's coming up. And so one of the things that's going around in their head is they were told they were lying about all of their traumas, right? How many times do we hear that with individuals? You're just making that all up. It never happened. And their reality is feeling wrong or not true to what's going on, right? They're questioning their reality. And so one of the things we're doing is I'm bringing in these Jungian archetypes, right? I'm bringing in the shadow, there's persona, the self, the animaeus, the animus, the maiden, all of these different parts, but they're also archetypes that have these huge representation. And they're using this to kind of build their reality with these parts that are telling them, these archetypes that are telling them that, no, this is the reality. And this is why we were here. These archetypes are here to protect you because the reality was too intense. And so we'll do shadow work. We'll do animus work, where you're building off of those energies. You're building off of those archetypes that are run through all of us, right? It's those masculine parts, those feminine parts, that core self. That shadow is that dark, deep part of us that nobody ever wants us to kind of be aware of. And we'll build because those parts are parts of us and they influence kind of what we're doing. I like to kind of use them somewhat in tangent with parts work because I don't know this for sure, but I feel like that's where a lot of the parts came from is Carl Jung's archetypes, right? If you look at the connection there between regular parts work, the exiles, the managers, the firefighters, it all goes with these different archetypes that Carl Jung had way back in the 1920s and 1930s. And so to me, they all just seamlessly fly and work together. And in the sand, you get to explore this part however you want, right? You can be as big and as bold as you want for this shadow work. You can have a dragon beating things up and you can have, you know, images of blood and images of whatever you need as that shadow part. And it's okay. You know, I had one person build their shadow and I have a family table here with a knife and blood on it. And they're like, is this okay? I was like, can you tell me, is that what your system needs as part of your shadow? If it does, then put it in because your system needs to be represented properly in here. So that's one of the beauties of the sand.
Yeah. I can just think about how I was just this week's episode of Therapy Chat is with Janina Fisher. And I was talking with her about shame and thinking about the way that shame allows us to submit. And when you were talking about that, thinking, you know, a child who's being violently abused wants to fight back and protect themselves, but the person who's abusing them being their attachment figure, you know, they need to shut down in shame so that they don't harm their attachment figure who they're completely reliant upon. So I just, when you said like the family table with the blood, you know, it's like completely taboo to imagine harming the parent you love, even though they harmed you.
Absolutely.
You know,
but in the sand, it's free range, right?
Yeah.
I had an individual use that table. And then I'm a huge superhero nerd, right? So I love superheroes. And I love Disney and all of those fantastic things. So I have a whole wall of Disney and superheroes. And so she had this family dinner table and then she put the Joker on top, right? And that represented her father. And it was so powerful for her that she was like, oh my God,
yeah.
That is how it was. Like, we didn't know who he was going to get, but most of the time it was violent. Most of the time it was drunk. Most of the time I was angry and intense. But that feels amazing to be able. And then she just threw it, right? Like, Shelly, do you mind if I just go for it? If that's what your system needs to do as an adult, throw it. I'm okay with that. One of the sweetest little individuals I had at the Child Abuse Center, we were playing in the sand and she grabbed this figure and she was, this needs to go. And she went and she opened my door. She came back and we were playing. She was playing through her trauma. Kids play beautifully through what they know, right? And she was playing through her trauma and she picked up this male figurine and she goes, open the door. And then I started to walk. She goes, no, I need to open it. So she opened my office door and she goes, I have to do this, Miss Julie. And I was like, okay. I don't know what you're doing. And she took the figure and threw it. And it went into my I had an office suite. Like, it went into her office. I was like, oh, crud. What's going on? Like, she came back. She goes, I have to do it again. I was like, okay. Like, this is your system. This is what you need to release. I had another little one at the Child Advocacy Center. They had no idea of what they had suffered because they were so young. And this was me trying to sit with my own self and regulate, right? They picked up one of my fans and just blew it at the sand tray. And all the sand just started going up and up. But I knew their history, right? Their history was very severe, very traumatic, very chaotic. And so this is what they were recreating in the sand. And they were playing in the sand, scenes in the sand as the sand is just going up and down, right? Where else can you do that? You know what I mean?
Wow.
And the release that comes with that is, it's not something you'll ever get in words, but you can feel the shift when that happens. That took me out of my comfort zone a little bit. We had to rediscuss how many fans we were going to have going into the sand tray because it was a lot to clean up for me. And go.
For all the therapists who are like, oh my gosh, the sand would be everywhere. Yeah, well, that's true. Yes, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be messy, right?
The sand tray is always messy, but it's something, right? And I have my own OCD ceramic cleaning and everything else. I'm well aware of that. So, but it's one of the things that, like, okay, I'm going to know that this is going to be dirty. This is going to be, to me, it's worth it, right? When you have that mess at the end, because the other thing is I don't have my individuals clean up the sand trays when they're done. I don't let them do that. You don't take apart your unconscious. It's just one of those things. And so that helps my own anxieties and everything else, being able to put everything away and know where everything is. And it's my individuals come in now and they know where the miniatures are. They know which ones they're looking for and which ones they have to use. And every time I add a new one, everybody's like, you got a new one. I was like, no, it's okay. I can't help. They're like, no, we love it. Where can we go? I'm like, okay. But if things get moved, they're also like, why is that moved? Why is that out of spot? So they look for that routine. They look for that. Because for them, that's a sense of like safety and stability. So I do my best to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be so that it's predictable, right? Because what comes up in the sand is so unpredictable that at least the miniatures on the shelves are predictable.
Right. And a traumatic life is totally unpredictable, totally chaotic. And having I know exactly where the figurine is or the, you know, they're not all representative of human or animals or even superheroes. They're also like, you know, shapes and different.
Absolutely. So I can tell you, like, have bird cages, right? That open. I have some that don't open. It's amazing how many different like images are used in different ways for different things. I encourage people never just start with animals. I made that mistake. That was part of my initial mistake, right? And never just have humans, because nobody ever wants to just build with like human figures. And if you're going to have people, you need to have people, obviously. I have people with varying emotions. So I have faces that have different emotions on them, because most of the time you see figures, they all have smiley faces on. And like the reality is it's not where everybody is.
If the figure you want to use has a big smile, it's like, oh no, this isn't right. You know, if you're feeling that it needs to look mad or
The other option I always offer my individuals is you can make one, right? So I have Sculpey Clay here where I'll allow them to make it and then they can bring it back and build around it. That's how I did some of my work. I built some of my own in the tray to take to my therapist when we started using the black sand. And so that became like, those pieces became really important to me. And I couldn't put them out in my collection right away. It took a few years before I could actually put them to allow other people to use them. And so now I find it fascinating to see what they get used for and how they get used in the tray, because I knew what they meant for my journey in the tray.
Oh, Julia, this is so cool. So I have never heard sand spotting before. So I think you...
I have to figure out how to trademark it.
You may have created it, right? I mean, have you talked to David Grand about this?
I have not. I've not. No. I need to figure out how
to... You need to tell David Grand about this because every new, you know, like brain spotting offshoot is something that somebody said to David Grand, hey, this is what I'm doing. And... he's like, okay, you know?
Yeah. I have no idea how to get a hold of David. So that becomes, you know.
Aren't you in the International Brain Spotting group on Facebook? That would be how. Okay. Ask someone there. Okay. You and me will talk. I'm not in touch with David Graham, but I know other people can be, and you can be.
Sure. Why not? Right? No, I definitely,
why not?
I don't know anybody else doing it except for my one clinician. So one of my clinicians, I trained in sand tray extensively for the past 2.5 years, and she's done her own work in sand, and so she does sand spotting with me, but I don't know anybody else who is doing that, which is a shame because I think it could be so, you have to have a level, basic level of training in brain spotting and sand tray, but it can be so powerful.
I feel very inspired. I feel like I want to go find, it's my sand trays in the basement, I want to get my sand tray. I'm like, do I have all the figures too? I think so.
The other thing is virtual sand tray, right? They've created really amazing virtual sand tray options. Karen Oaklander has a free one for those doing virtual, but there's also Simply Sand. And then there's one, I have Simply Sand. I have a year subscription for my agency for people who are still doing virtual. But there's another one Dr. Jessica Stone did, and I can't remember the name as well, for virtual sand trays. And so it is, there is that ability to do it virtually as well.
That's wonderful. I'll put all of this information in the show notes. And Julia, thank you so much for sharing about what you're doing. It's so interesting and it sounds really powerful. I mean, I'm very inspired and I'm really grateful that, you know, when we talked about it a little bit at Lauren's open house, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Let's talk about it on the podcast. But now getting more into it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just really exciting and creative, and it feels like there's a lot of potential, a big potential in this. That's what I'm feeling.
Yes, thank you. I agree. I love it. And it's proving to help, which I think is the thing that as therapists we want to have that feedback that like things are moving, things are going in the right direction. And that's what I'm noticing more as I get more into this work and more sure of myself as a therapist, right?
Well, we're all here trying to help trauma survivors heal. And there's so many different avenues for that. But I'm so grateful for what you're doing to expand and create a new option for people. Now, where can people find all of the amazing stuff that you're doing?
Sure. So the easiest way is our website, which is mycrossingpaths.com, or email. I'm not good with social media. I'm really not. I've been yelled at numerous times for needing more of like a social media presence and everything else. And I'm not good at it. So if they don't find what they want on the website, there's always email. And that's julia@mycrossingpaths.com. As you mentioned, we do trainings. We have trainings coming up, which I'm super excited for. I love being able to kind of give back and teach. That's one of my areas I want to expand and grow in.
And all of your training stuff is also available on your same website?
Yeah. All of the registration links and everything. Yep.
Great. Julia, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Try Therapy Notes, the #1 rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
I'm excited to share with you that Trauma Therapist Network
and Therapy Chat are sponsoring the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health, IMMH, conference in October, October 10th through 13th at the stunning Gaylord National Harbor Resort in Washington, D.C. Early bird pricing is still available, and I have for you a $100 discount off of the early bird price. There are also special discount rates for the hotel available only through September 16th. This conference is in person and I'm going to be there. I can't wait to meet all of you who are attending in person. I'm going to have an exhibitor table so you can come by and say hi to me. Also trying to organize a trauma therapist network gathering and a therapy chat gathering, maybe a dinner. So I'm hoping that many of you will be there too to hear from leading experts in integrative mental health, including the latest keynote edition, esteemed British cardiologist Dr. Asim Malhotra, along with many other amazing speakers, including multiple time therapy chat guests, Dr. Leslie Korn and Linda Tai. You can earn up to 24 CEs and discover the latest research on neuroinflammation, psychedelics, genomics, trauma, nutritional and metabolic psychiatry, the gut-brain connection, the nervous system, the heart-mind connection, etc. Seth Porges and Benjamin Fry, who was a recent Therapy Chat guest, will also be there. Join me at the Integrative Medicine for Mental Health Conference, IMMH 2024. You'll find a link in the show notes to get a ticket with your discount code and a link to book your hotel if you get it by September 16th. So don't miss out. I'll see you there. Go to immh.org and use code TRAUMATH100 to save $100 off the early bird in-person ticket price. That's TRAUMATH100, TRAUMATH100, to save $100 off the early bird in-person ticket price through September 16th.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.